Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, folks. Troy Dooley here. Welcome to Radio for Your Mind. You know, it's been an awesome 10 days of literally digging into John Maxwell's book. Now, we took some few days off in there for the holidays and all that, but man, the more I dig back into this book, the more I'm amazed at how much I've forgotten, to be quite honest. And I think that happens to all of us. You know, I think if we get right down to it, we'll read a book, we pitch it away, we grab a nugget, we never go back. And I think that if we were to take the time to dig deep, take the time to really seek out different books and reread them, I've gone back through and I've added new notes and new red marks and new lines, and I just look at these and I think, man, this is pretty doggone powerful as we dig deep into this and we see where we're going with it. Today we're on values. We have values and then we have growth. Those are the last two that we literally will be focusing on. And I think values is really in an article that I'm writing for my newsletter that will come out later today or tomorrow. One of the things that I have in there is the fact that your values is the core foundation that your whole life surrounds, that you know revolves around. So without values, without knowing what your values are, it's kind of tough. John writes this. He says, I grew up in a home where great values were taught and lived out, but I didn't make a conscious decision to embrace good values and live them until around 1970 when I was 23 years old. That year I read Spiritual Leadership by J. Oswald Sanders. It changed my life. Up until then, I'd been a people pleaser and census taker in my leadership. I led people according to what was popular. 90% of the time, that was okay. But on the occasions when a real leadership decision was required, when I really needed to do something that would be unpopular, I wavered. Reading Sanders' book made me realize that I was not leading according to my values, and it gave me the courage to do the right thing. We must always lead by our values. Sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's tough, sometimes it's decisions that we have to go on. I know I find myself, I get frustrated with people that I know have the ability to lead, know that they have the ability to grow, and yet so many times they're stagnant, so many times they do nothing. That really burns it. It frustrates me. But I know, just like John, that there's just days you have to make those decisions. John wrote this, I will lead others based on the values I embrace. He goes on to say, I still have my copy of Spiritual Leadership because it marked me. Inside the back cover, I wrote three commitments that would shape the rest of my life. Number one, to be God's man. No matter where my work takes me, I desire to be at the center of God's will. I think that's very powerful, especially if you know John. Number two, to develop my potential to the best of my ability. He said, I will never allow myself to be lazy, indifferent, or noncommittal concerning spiritual lost people. And number three, to be a true spiritual leader. God is my idol, Jesus is my pattern, and the Bible provides me direction. Too many men are stereotyped leaders. Their whole outlook is wrapped in by their surroundings. I will not, with God's help, be poured into another man's mold or teach what I do not believe. Here's what's so important about this. For several years, John went off and became a leader's leader. He is classified a leader to leaders. New York bestsellers, traveled to world talking to the most powerful politicians and leaders in the world. But when it was time for him to get back to the basics, he sold off everything and went back to running his nonprofit Equip that really fulfilled these three commitments that he put in this book. I think this is awesome. Because it shows us that every one of us is going to have different travels and different paths, and sometimes the direction may not take us directly to where we're going, but we'll all end up back there. John writes, for 34 years I've continually asked myself this question, am I leading others according to the values I've embraced? I think that's the key. See, today we must make the decision to embrace and practice good values. They may not be John Maxwell's, they may not be mine. Good Lord, my boys have different values than I do. It doesn't mean that you don't stop raising your kids or you stop leading based on your values. You just understand as people mature, as they grow older, They have a freedom of choice, and they will create and design and do their own thing based on their values. Some they will embrace from their parents and others. Some they won't. I don't know if I've been a good example or a poor example to my kids. In every way, that there's something there that can benefit them, something there that they have been able to gravitate to enjoy, and at other times I did and said, we don't want to do that. I say the same thing about my team. I hope that there's things that I do that motivates and benefits them. At the same time, I hope there's other things that they know that they should not be following me in. The first thing we have to do is create a list of values, good values. You know, it's funny, we talk about leadership, and I do my best to always talk about leadership in a positive way. Leadership is not always positive. There are values that can be classified as bad values, and there's bad leadership. Adolf Hitler, from just the leadership standpoint, was one of the most successful leaders of the 20th century. He was able to turn a nation out of poverty, out of a downhill slide, into a dominant force. I'm not praising Adolf Hitler, just listen to me. He did all that for the wrong reasons. He did it out of manipulation. And at the end, it cost him not only his life, but millions of lives of other people. You do not want to lead for the wrong reasons. It's the same contrast. You take Abraham Lincoln, who, had I been alive during those days, would not have agreed with his ideology, because I think he was making the government too powerful at the time. But talk about a leader that walked by his values. History has shown with Abraham Lincoln that he truly thought there was an issue, and that the southern states must be put into subjection, and they must get rid of slavery. Now, I'm all for getting rid of the slavery part. As a matter of fact, if you read the Constitution, you find out that they had banned slavery. But what they had not done is freed the slaves within the states yet. I believe that would have happened given time. But the point of this is Abraham Lincoln walked his walk. It cost him his life, but he went down in history as a powerful, positive leader versus Adolf Hitler, who it took his life. He took his own life. Somebody didn't assassinate him, although they tried. But yet he left a negative mark. It all goes to their values, what they believed. You must, under all circumstances, create a good list of values. Things that you believe in. Don't make a cotton-picking scroll. It don't need to be as long as even the Ten Commandments. Pick five or six that are your values. Five or six that you believe in. Five or six that make you stronger. Five or six that will lead you on a daily basis. Because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. At the end of the day, that's what people will see. It's what they will gravitate to. They will say, that is somebody that I can follow. That is somebody that can lead me the way I need to be led. See, to me, that is one of the most powerful things that we can all do. Too many times, though, we don't even do that. Too many times we're not walking by our values. We're not really walking by anybody's values. And when we decide that we're going to walk by values, that's the key. I have seven values that I try to live by. And I say the word try because I know that each day I slip up somewhere along the line. I'm very authentic on that. But number one is authenticity. That's one that I try never to fail at. I try to always be open, honest, transparent. Number two is family. I know I've screwed this up throughout the years, but it's a value that I believe in. I believe family is the most important asset God has given me next to time. Number three is integrity. I don't want to lie to people. I don't want to hype up people. I don't want to blow smoke up people's butt. My fourth is mercy. I've lived a pretty rough life, so I do my best to give leeway to other people. Mercy does not mean that you are weak. Mercy means you give people enough room to hang themselves, necessarily. At other times, you give them enough mercy that they get their act together and they move forward. Number five is relationships. I believe everything rises and falls on relationships, plain and simple. It's the only way to grow. Number six is servant leadership. You do not lead from a dictatorial type of state. You lead as you want to be led. And number seven is wisdom. I do not strive. This is actually an article I'm writing today, too. I do not strive for knowledge. I strive for wisdom. Knowledge is knowing the facts and not applying them. Wisdom is knowing the facts and adding value to other people's lives based on those facts. We must all do that. Next thing you got to do is you've got to embrace these values. It's one thing to make your list. It's another thing to embrace them and live by them and walk by them and make them the center of your attention 24/7. The next thing we have to do is we have to make a decision to live those values at all cost. That's the tough one, folks, right there. It's one thing to have the values, to embrace the values, to privately stick them in your pocket. It's quite another to literally live by those. Daily, to dig deep. To be managing every decision you make, to manage your daily discipline surrounding your values. If your values are front and center and you're looking at your values, then everything you do will be based on that. I get myself frustrated. My page last night said, "Hey, Punkin, are you okay?" And I said, "I'm fine. I'm just frustrating myself." See, it's been 4 years since I've worked for somebody else. 5 years, I guess. 2004. I guess it's been 6 years. Gosh, it's almost been 10 years since I've worked for somebody. So when I took this job with Dennis Dottel over at Ignite 360, I took it a little rusty. I took it knowing that fulfilling the obligation, fulfilling the mission is not an issue, but I want it faster, now. So as I've looked at our growth, it's not been what I want. It's not what I've been written down. It's not what my goal is. And I had to realize, going back to my values, that it will be a slow process, but a steady process. Because I believe in a whole different type of leadership style than the average, everyday person. I try to follow guys and gals that run successful corporations, and when you look at them, you see they didn't do it overnight. It took time and tenacity. Next thing you have to do is articulate and embrace your values daily. Daily in your words, daily in your actions, your values should be coming through loud and clear. You should keep a document handy. You should. I strongly suggest this is what I do. I constantly write down what's going on throughout the day. I keep track of it. I want to know what's happening and how it's happening. I believe that is the best way to be able to fulfill your daily values, to be able to embrace them, to honor them, to articulate them, is to constantly write down and correct. Make course corrections. They do this going to the moon, to Mars, to Hawaii, so why can't you do it? Listen to this. Good business leaders understand the importance of speaking about their values continually. Stu Leonard, president of the grocery chain Stu Leonard, said that he continually verbalizes the values to the company's customers. "We don't see customers the way you do," he said. "Our people imagine each of our customers with $50,000 tattooed on their forehead. How is that similar? How is that simply a matter of math?" Here's what he says. $100, the average amount customers spend per week, times 50, the numbers a week per year that a person shops in his store, time 10, the average years residents live in his city equals $50,000 per customer. See, he believes that each one of those customers is worth $50,000. Now, I understand that's a financial transaction, but if you realize what he's saying, he's basically telling his people, treat them with respect and dignity. They're like shareholders. Gosh, I didn't even read this yesterday, and I'm writing that in a newsletter, too. It's funny because as I sit here and I look at what I wrote yesterday in my different articles for this newsletter, I realize just how much I've taken from this book over the years. See, when you become a student of your industry, a student of wisdom, a student of your niche, whatever it is you're at, all of a sudden you realize that you actually can apply what you've learned. Next, compare your values to your practices daily. Now, that's the toughest one right there. You might have to make some course corrections with your actual practices. There's things that you will have to do, you will have to change, you will have to fix. It's the only way to make this happen. Make the course corrections. Don't be scared of it. We're making course corrections in some of our business properties on the internet, some of our blogs, because we're wanting to streamline and simplify and correct things. And that's what it's about right there. In all areas of your life, compare your values to your daily practices. I think that's huge. This is the big one here. We're going to spend some time on this one. Live out your values regardless of your feelings. See, this is big, folks. You cannot feel like living your values. You cannot decide today I will, tomorrow I won't. Values is like love. It's not an emotion. Love isn't an emotion. Your values aren't based on emotions. Love is an action. Love is something that you know deep in your heart must be done. To show somebody that you love them, it's not just as easy to say, I love you. It takes an action of some kind, an act of service. Sometimes it's physical service. You're rubbing their back. You're making love. You're washing their feet. You're cooking dinner. You're doing the clothes. All that are signs of love to a certain degree. Other times it's listening as the person that you love shares about their day or situation. Sometimes in men's cases it's an act of protection or an act of financial security by going to work. For women it's an act of nurturing. Well, guess what? Your values operate in the same way. It's not a matter of not feeling like living your values because somebody made you mad or somebody discouraged you, disrespected you. It's a matter of you live your values, period. Not with a question mark, but with a period. There's certain things that I've written down that I've taken from John and others. Obviously, John is probably the most influential in my life when it comes to these things. But one of the things that I wrote down is that, and I do this daily, these are the five daily decisions. We've talked about these in the past. We've talked about them in this book. There's five areas of my life that when I saw that John did this, I said, why reinvent the wheel? I'll just emulate him. So I look at these decisions based on values. My first is relationships. Have I strengthened my relationship with God, with Paige, with my kids? See, when you look at my values, family and relationships are number two and number five. The first decision that I look at on a daily basis covers two of my values. The next question that I do is my character. Have I developed my character today? I believe that surrounds number three, integrity. Because if your character's got flaws in it, it will come in, it will come out with or without integrity, one way or the other. Number three is my attitude. Have I chosen the right attitude in spite of what happened to me today? I believe that that really covers my servant leadership, my wisdom, and mercy. See, your attitude, only 10% of your attitude's above ground. The rest of it's underneath the surface. So I'm constantly looking that. The fourth decision that I look at daily is actually all seven of my values. Have I lived out my values before others today? And number five, is my growth? Have I done things that will increase my potential today? That runs right along the lines with wisdom. See, this is what it takes for us to be able to achieve success, to be able to achieve growth, which is what we're going to be talking about tomorrow. John saved values to the 11th day, I believe, so that we could all start digging a little deeper, start analyzing ourselves better, start seeing who and what we are, start trying to realize how we can change, how we can be somebody. When we take time to be that way, when we take time to honor ourselves, to honor others, to live up to our values, the sky can be the limit. So you have to live out your values regardless of your feelings. That's a tough one. I know that. The last thing we got to look at is evaluate each day in light of your values. Listen to what John writes here. I thought this was pretty profound. Most people take very little time to do any reflective thinking. Yet this is necessary for someone who wants to live out their values with consistency. Ben Franklin used to get up in the mornings asking himself, "What good will I do today? What good will I do today?" When he went to bed, he asked himself, "What good did I do today?" He was evaluating himself in light of one of his values. Both John and I, for the last few years, have tried to do the same thing. I end my day in prayer and relaxation as I study where I was at for the day. I open up my day as I get up in the mornings around 5 or 6, doing the same thing. I will head to the beach for a stroll, meditating, praying, listening, reflecting, and getting excited about where my day will go. How can I live out my values? We all must do that. Here's the takeaways for the day. Where do you stand when it comes to values? Ask yourself these three questions. Have I already made the decision to embrace and practice good values daily? If so, when did I make that decision? What exactly did I decide? Those are the big questions that we all need to answer, that we all need to look at. Tomorrow, the last day that we will be in John's book, Make Today Count, The Secrets of Your Success is Determined by Your Daily Agenda. We will finish that tomorrow. I'll probably take a couple of days where we'll just do some fun stuff. I might not. I might dig deep into this next book, but we'll probably take a couple of days and cover some lighthearted stuff, have some fun with what we've done, maybe recap John's book. But then we're going to dig into a book by two very great, great authors, James Coos and Barry Posner. They're the author of the best-selling book that you've heard me talk about, The Leadership Challenge. Their new book, The Truth About Leadership, The No Fads, Heart of the Matter, Facts You Need to Know. I'm excited about this book. It's brand new. I think it's going to be an awesome time as we study this. You might want to go get a copy in advance. You might just want to hang out on the show and see if it's worth your while. Either way, I think you're going to enjoy it as much as I have. Some of the stuff that's already been written about it. This book cuts through the clutter and reminds us of what really matters. The introduction is worth the price of the book alone. This came from Patrick Lissini, president of the Table Group. Here's one from Colonel Tom Colts. Elegant is the simplicity and powerful in its depths. The truth about leadership dazzles. This is a one-in-a-million book that serves to put the entire field together for the reader. That's pretty powerful. It's going to be a fun time. Folks, live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Be back here tomorrow morning for Radio for Your Mind. Bye now.